He's whiny.
Yeah, like he sounds like such a bitch. Give the full rendition of how it has been truly one of the most embarrassing and lifeless like months of my existence, I think.
I know everyone was very mad that you didn't arrive in Denver. Your presence was greatly missed.
I had a series of bizarre family things that are still sort of ongoing, actually.
Which is a very valid, take family first before coins and parties.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
Well, it resulted in me spending a fair bit of time with my dad, right? Mm-hmm. So we were hanging out and he was sort of like, you know, because he was like incapacitated with some shit that was going on. And so I was just like hanging out with him, talking. And he was like, so what are you getting up to? Like, what's going on your computer? Like, who are those guys in there? And so I was like just giving him like a brief little intro to like crypto Twitter, all that stuff. And so I'm like explaining to my very normal, very like real life father how all of these people are going and putting like $4 into some shit coin on Solana and turning it into like 4 million, but they can only take out like 2% of that without like nuking the liquidity. Like basically like, you know, if you sell enough of the supply, then it's going to send the price to zero. I know Verse knows this, but I'm explaining to all of our listeners who may not give a shit about crypto or any of this other stuff, but it's like, so basically there's an amount of liquidity locked in the actual token itself. Maybe let's just say arbitrarily there's like $100 locked in the liquidity pool. Now if like depending on how people set up the token, there can be like $1 billion of paper money out there, but you can't actually cash it out because there's only $100 in the liquidity pool. So only 100 actual dollars can be taken out. But you can have a number on a screen that says you have like $1 billion or something insane, right? So you had a bunch of these funny situations where people bought a ton of some very low liquidity coin and it went up a fuck ton and they were like, yeah, I'm a genius. And they were like, they still made money. They're still going to make a fuck ton of money. But like, it wasn't necessarily the like 1 bajillion times, because like, if they were to try and sell, the process of them selling would knock the price down like 60% or something insane. Right.
Yeah. So it's the classic, it's not a rug, but you can't sell. See, this is a lesson I had to learn myself with the shitcoining. This is also something you can, you should pay attention to with scammers or like fake influencers, because they'll show you that big ass number and not show you how much liquidity is in the coin. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I made $5 million on this shit coin, but technically,
yeah, and it's like, this isn't something you're really gonna have to worry about with like Bitcoin. You know,
yeah.
Like there are very few people out there that have enough Bitcoin that they are unable to exit their position.
I don't
even
think anybody can do
no that. No they're like the Satoshi like Genesis wallet.
Oh yeah, that wallet, but
probably could actually just like nuke shit.
But I don't think that wallet. I'm under the impression that he's dead. I believe in the Satoshi is dead theory.
I've never looked into it. It's one of the funniest like internet myths. Like, who is the guy that invented Bitcoin, right? Because he's basically the only remaining anon in all of history, right? Because everyone who's anonymous eventually gets found out, except this one dude who, like, his thing is he just invented Bitcoin and then, like, fucked off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the only way you can stay anonymous. It's like, you do one thing and then you say,
leave.
Fuck it, I'm out. And, like, I guarantee you that the big dogs in the world out there, like, they know who it is. They have to know who it is. Or was.
I'm very... There's a few theories, and the guy who... I can't remember his name. I think it's Paul something, who killed himself or died or something in a mysterious fashion. Either he got Hillary Clinton or he and heroed, one of the two. That guy is probably Satoshi in my and many other people's opinion. But that's all I got. That or yeah,
I know operation. That everybody has like these long and thought out theories, and I just never, you know, it's more fun for me if I don't make it real, right? If Bitcoin was invented by like some mysterious internet anon who like, you know, like the docs came out from all the communications with the other devs and stuff, and he's like calling people like retards and shit like that.
That is what happened on the forum. That is, he was going
yeah, like
retards.
He just seems like some cool like anon guy.
If you don't get it, I don't have time to explain it to you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to ruin that for myself here. But all of this is to say that, yeah, you can very much so wind up with a position where your wallet is telling you have like $1 billion and you don't necessarily have the ability to realize $1 billion, right? So what happens when you do this is you dump on everybody, and that like that your tokens get spread out, and then they buy, and then it goes up, and then this process keeps repeating until eventually the distribution of tokens approaches something like normal, as opposed to just like four people having like 90% of the supply or something like that, right? But I trapped my ass in, I found like a, there was some like good ish AI coin, and I decided that I was going to like clip in because the chart looked really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And so over the course of like a day, I dumped like a few rounds in, and then it went up like, I don't know, like a 5, 8, 10x ish. And at the end I had that problem. I was like, I want to sell, but I can't, you know? Like, classic. I could sell, but I would send, like, I would ruin the chart for everybody and send it to zero, and that everyone would hate me, right?
You got a 3-3, so like, bro.
Right, three, and three. The problem with this situation is, like, it's not only me that winds up with that many tokens, right? There are a bunch of other people who, when a coin goes up, like, 10x or something, they're in that same exact boat. So now I'm in a room with like these 10 other people, and we're in like a secret prisoner's dilemma, right? Where any one of us, if we decided to sell all of the tokens we have, we could fucking send this shit to zero, right? But all of us also, like, we don't want to do that because we want there to still be buyers, because that means that when we do sell, the price is going to be higher for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. But if somebody decides, oh, it looks like these other people are, they're not going to be letting me do that, or, oh, they're fucking the chart, I might as well just send mine and sell this all.
And this is my favorite part of crypto, is the prisoner dilemma with every shitcoin.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, everything is so fucking PvP all the time. And, you know, because if you have one of these people who has, like, you know, they have an important thing to do in their life, they don't want to sit there, like, selling 1% orders out every, like, hour. They just want to fucking get rid of it all and be done with it. That guy will just come and like destroy the chart, and then it just,
yeah,
it's done.
That is the hidden. I mean, it's not hidden anymore. People say it pretty explicitly now that like shitcoining is like PvP, and then you can do PvE with like the majors and stuff. But yeah, I mean, like even with this this pump fund that I did the Sniffcoin on, that place was really fun earlier today. And then everyone realized you can send a coin to the actual market, and now it's every single coin on there is PvP. And the second it gets to like, you have to get to it's a bonding curve, so you have to like get $100,000 of market cap. And then
for everyone who isn't familiar with how this works, basically, there's an amount of tokens, and there is there's like a locker where you can buy, and then it has like an artificial curve. It's not like a liquidity pool or anything like that, but it just has like a curve for how much each additional token will cost, and to try and kind of make it smooth and fair, right? So like normally if you were to release a token that has no liquidity paired, what would happen is like, let's say you have a supply of like 1 billion tokens, but there's no dollars that it's paired with. The first person who puts in $1 winds up getting like a bajillion percent, right? Like they have like 90% of all of the tokens now. This is bad, right? Because then the price goes up, and the people eventually, like, they buy exponentially less and less tokens for $1, but there's still that first guy, right? So maybe you have like 100 of these tokens that you got for $1, but he has like 900 million of them that he got for $1. You don't want to be in that position, because he can ruin your life, right? So the website basically tries to get around this by instead of allowing that first guy to get like a bajillion tokens, they sort of like spread it out normally and curve it upwards.
Buy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a fairer buy.
Fairer
but,
buy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But once they hit a given amount of locked liquidity, they release the token onto the market.
And they take that.
And then anyone, like anyone can go and buy it.
They take half the liquidity and they make it the liquidity for the, they take half the money in the bonding curve and make it the liquidity on the market. And they lock it. So like now you have a coin that's like, it has like $50,000 of liquidity. So that's like, for most coins, that's actually a lot to launch with. So that's actually pretty good. However, what people are doing now, because they realize that it's PvP, they'll take it to 98% or 99%, and then they'll just fucking dump everything. Because you could sell at any point. It's not like you put the tokens in and they like keep it in there, like other bonding curves.
Yeah, yeah. I did see that. It's like it's its own little mini market before it even hits the actual market. It's very
funny. Which is why it's very fun, because like the name is correct. Pumped Off Fun is accurate, because you're like, oh, we're playing little shitcoinery, and like which meme is funnier, and that's what we're going to send to the market. Yeah. But no, now everyone realized you can just dump on everyone and nothing go to the market.
I think basically this cycle for crypto is the realization that everyone is having that all of this other shit about like use cases and like APRs and it's like, yeah, I don't know. This isn't what people care about, right? Like Solana has revealed that like the average person's involvement with crypto and what they want to do is they want to be able to bet on like stupid memes that they find funny and see if they either go to $0 or $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
Like it's purely like a speculative vehicle. And, you know, the people in the industry will be like, oh, like all this speculation and all these meme coins make us look so bad. It's like, that is the industry, dude. Like that fundamentally crypto is speculation. And if you're going to sit there and like bitch about, oh God, like I hate the speculation. It's like,
you're in the wrong thing.
Like, nobody's buying what you're selling, bro. Nobody's fucking buying it. Nobody's buying it. So
no one cares about the tech, dude.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my zero knowledge proof, the eigen layer, like my layer three built on a layer two built on a layer zero ZK. Like nobody fucking cares, man. They want to go buy. They want to go buy dog with hat token, and they want to watch it go up 20x in the next week. Right. That's absolutely. Not like I'm not telling. I actually fucking don't like that token, honestly, because I posted about this. But
we don't shit on dog with hat. That's the future.
Yeah, I like all you guys are very hard in. Like all my friends are very, very like deeply invested in dog with hat token. So I shouldn't be like shitting on it. But like, come on, guy, you get one fucking dog picture you can associate with your token, and they literally picked a picture of a dog that looks like pissed off. It's like, come on, man. Yeah,
but just it has a cute hat cute on. Dog.
No, that the hat. It's like the dog looks like the dog that is the pet of maybe like a wine ant who buys it like sweaters and mittens.
That's exactly
and shit.
What it is, though.
Right. And it like it gets dressed up and the dog fucking hates it. The dog's sitting there like, this is demeaning. I don't like this. And that's it's like it's staring at the camera. It's like mean mugging the camera in the picture, being like, I wish I had any other owner. Like, I wish I could have just been like, you know, some normal teenage boy's pet. But instead, I got this fucking wine ant and she put me in a pink knit cap. And now everybody on the internet is like, oh, look at this like bitch dog with his gay cap. Right.
And that's actually the fun of it. And you get the joke, but you don't like it, which is
fair. Like,
had you come to East Denver, my friend's mom actually knitted several knitted hats, and you could have had one. And
it's
you
literally like a pussy hat too. Like it's like one of the fucking like Hillary Clinton protest like pussy hats.
It is a pussy.
It's
hat,
like
yeah.
It's like it's, the most demeaning. If I was that dog, and there was now like a multi-billion dollar effectively cryptocurrency meme campaign to humiliate me spiritually. Using every technology that the human race has developed, like I would be pissing on like every leg, every fucking like stop sign, every yard. I would be shitting in my owner's house. Like I would be so upset, man.
And you know what? Your owner would be like, you know what? Have fun, because I just made a 5,000x on this.
No. Because there's a 0% chance that whoever fucking took that picture invested in cryptocurrency.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely zero. And this is another great thing about cryptocurrency. I'm probably gonna be grading some of our viewers here, but like, if there's somebody that I really fucking hate, there's a 0% chance they invest in cryptocurrency or use it at all. They likely just reflexively hate it, right? Like every single person that I just outright fucking hate also hates cryptocurrency. And so like watching my net worth just go up like an easy, steady, like 400, 500% over the last few months. And knowing that like that's going to continue and none of these people are going to be part of it is like, it's so beautiful, man. It feels so fucking good.
That is definitely the most, that is definitely a big, big plus.
Especially
like,
after
all my, like, this all was my haters are getting wrecked and I'm sitting here.
Yes.
And vibing.
Yeah. 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 And it's like, you know, it's always like the same type of people who just like anytime they see like a post about crypto, they just like get super mad and talk about how like the environment's being destroyed or like whatever other, like they just get mad. It's just evil. It's scams. It's like, I mean, sure. Yeah, it is scams, but you can also make money. Like,
hey, everything, if you think about it on a long enough time scale, everything's a scam. You know, everything's a bubble. If you on a long,
dude, I was talking with a project the other day, and they basically were advising a protocol that was they were offering some asset backed by another asset, effectively, and that it had a given backing ratio, right? And people objected, and they were like, "This backing ratio it's not high enough, right? This isn't a like trustworthy liquid asset unless you have more to back it." And the guy was like, I'm backing it with 5 times more than the U.S. government backs the U.S. dollar. And
have you heard of fractional reserve banking?
So I don't know. You wind up with all these funny situations like that. But I don't know. Like fundamentally, I think when somebody just gets like freaked out by any new thing, they don't really have any sort of desire to like learn about it or engage with it. I usually think they're kind of like a bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to say that you have to like love cryptocurrency or whatever, but if your reaction is to just like reflexively be mad about it, it's kind of like, why, right? Like you see a bunch of like retards going out and making a fuck ton of money being idiots, and there's also like a ton of scams and stuff,
and you could just
like,
join them. That's the thing. That's my main issue. They get mad at it, and it's like you could just frolic and make money on stupid shit too, but you're choosing to be mad, and that's why you suck. You see, that's it. You want to be a hater.
It's just been such a very basic thing, right? Like even my parents figured it out from watching me over like the last decade. They were like, it seems that this thing that Lucas was saying about how crypto every 4 years goes up a fuck ton and then crashes is true. And it keeps happening. So like this last time when it was crashed, they were like, I bet it's going to do that thing again. So they shipped it. They bought a fuck ton, and
everyone thinks it's like, oh, it's not gonna happen again. We're on number like 6 now. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it just has to happen this way.
Everyone keeps coming up with these explanations for like why it does it, or like, oh, it's the halving. Oh, it's the liquidity cycles. Oh, it's I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't give a fuck. All I know is every 4 years, I'm gonna sell my shit, and then I'm gonna buy it again a year later. And then I'm going to hold it for another 3 and sell it, right? Like, I'm just going to keep doing it. And like, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not telling anybody to do this, but I'm just saying that like, I spent a lot of my life thinking, oh, this cycle's going to be different. Oh, like, it's not going to do it. And like, every fucking time I've ever bet against it, I lost a fuck ton of money, dude. I lost a lot of fucking money. So this time it's like, okay, it goes down. Everybody's telling me like, oh, crypto's gay, like it's dead, like FTX, like the bankruptcies, the scams, like it's over for good. I was like, I'm going to consider buying.
Bought instead of fetch. Yeah.
Right. And like, I'm now in that, you know, that meme of there's like the two guys, and the one is like the goofy Zoomer guy being like, oh, you're fucked when the music stops, bro. And the other guy is like looking at his portfolio that's up like 400,360,000, like 29%, being like, okay, I think I'll be able to deal. Like, I'm now in that position where I'm up so much that like we actually like, I will not go back to what I was at like a few months ago. Right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
we'll be
like,
okay.
It would suck. Like, it would suck to like have everything get zeroed out and lose it all. But like,
it's unlikely. As long as you don't do another, you know, keep it in the big ones. It's probably fine. Or like, you know,
and again, nothing that we're saying here is financial advice.
Take
God
some
for
profit,
fucking
everyone.
But yeah, no, and that's the other thing. This is the other really big thing. Like last bull market, I was like, I was sitting there being like a fucking hermit, right? Sitting locked locked in my house, buying nothing. Like I spent, I think like $3,000 of cryptocurrency profits all last cycle. And like, I ran up over seven figures and I was like, I can't spend any of this. It's going to be $100 million. If I play my cards right, bro, I'm going to have nine figures, man. And then of course it just all got zeroed out. And I was sitting there like, maybe all those fucking retards who went out and bought like $100,000 watches and cars and other dumb shit were actually geniuses.
Smart in the business.
Yeah. And I'm the retard in the end, because now they have a like $6 million watch collection composed of that same exact, the fucking Royal Oak one, the one that they all get, that one. And they're the 37 variations that they have of it. And I have one MacBook. So like, I think they won. And like me sitting there and shitting on, oh, they're so materialistic. Like, I can't believe they're buying all these depreciating assets with
at least they bought. No one's ever gone broke taking profit as
yeah. And well, that's the other thing. We're already like, I mean, we're coming up on the points where, you know, I don't know how this exactly works, but there's a point where you're basically safe, right? Like, if I knew that when I was buying Bitcoin in the like 20Ks and shit like that, that basically like, unless I was totally wrong, right, and the internet like literally disappeared and I was pretty confident that Bitcoin was never, ever, ever going to go back to those levels after this next cycle.
Yeah, right? It's never going back to 20K probably.
So that was like a very safe buy for me. We're now in the point where it's like, it could actually go back to the price it's at the end of this all, right? So like, you've got to be kind of careful now, right? Like, my thought was that pretty much everything, because I started going really hard. Like, I turned up the leverage when we hit like 40K, because I was like, okay, like we got, this is a good entry. I think we're good. I think we're on. I think we're game on, right? So I knew that in my mind, basically everything from 40,000 until the old all-time high was like free money. Because there was effectively, again, in my mind, I'm not a financial advisor, a 0% chance that we were not going to, at the very least, break the old all-time high, right? Like, it's never happened.
Yeah, it's never happened before, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's just free. I should take everything. Like, I'm taking I've liquidated my 401k, my IRA, my Roth account, like everything out, shoved it all in. I literally was maintaining a balance in my bank account of like $4,000 cash, like all the time, fucking nothing in there. And it seems to be right. Yeah. So
I think actually with a 40K buy, even post cycle, it's probably still safe. It's pretty rare. I mean, I've seen a few of them now. Usually it doesn't go too far past the previous all time high. Like, even this last time, Bitcoin went to like 20,000, right? Which is like
the bottom I want to say was okay. And this is the other thing though, like our cycle fractals got really fucked up, because the bottom last time was like 15K.
Yeah, which is lower than the top, which is unusual.
That was like I think that was the first time that's ever happened that the bottom was lower. But it was also like the FTX shit was just insane, man. Like, it was like, that was like the most insane scam in like the history of humanity, in terms of, you know, he was dumping shit that didn't exist on the market. Like, that was just fucking nuts.
But also, I think Mt. Gox released their thing, and so people were dumping because they recovered the Mt. Gox Bitcoin.
Oh yeah.
So I think
for those of you who don't know, for our uninformed listeners, Mt. Gox was like the very first crypto bankruptcy, where it was like a Bitcoin exchange. People could go buy, sell, trade. Did they rug? Or did they get hacked?
I don't know. I think they got hacked or something. I can't remember anymore, but I'm pretty sure they got hacked and they had funds that were like safe, but like no one knew. Like then they like bankrupted, and then like they had those funds, and then the people just knew, no idea how to like get to them or some shit. I don't know. It was caught up in legal shit. And then they eventually were able to get past all the litigation, and then they released them. I used to know this more effectively when this was more more recent in history, but yeah, now it's been almost 10,
like, I mean, actually, I was there for the Mt. Gox shit, but I wasn't, now, so. I didn't have enough money that I really cared that much about it. You know, it was shit's. Oh, and this is the other thing. Mt. Gox was like, it was like the only place that you could trade any crypto, right? Like there was no, you know, there was no Binance, there was no FTX, Coinbase, etc. This was like the absolute wild west of crypto, where you sign up to this shit, you didn't have to KYC, you had this account, you deposited money via like fucking, it was like a pain in the ass. Like it was, they didn't let you do PayPal, right?
You know, you could. I think I was PayPal because I feel like, or maybe it wasn't PayPal. I feel like I bought it on PayPal, my first buy for Bitcoin, or maybe that wasn't. It was something similar to PayPal.
We're too old, and like again, like I'm fried.
My brain doesn't work anymore.
I've been sitting here in my basement, fucking staring at charts for like a month. I have a legitimate brain damage at this point. I guess I don't know. You're sick or something.
I'm not sick.
You can come up with your own excuse, but I'm
not sick. I have sinus issues. Thank you. It's allergy season.
Yeah, I've been sleeping like so few hours every night, just staring at the charts, no lifing it. And like today was basically my day of celebration because after everything, it was like I fucking nailed it. I'm fine. We did it. Michael Saylor retired us. We're all good, right? Like it's.
I wish I didn't go fat enough into Bitcoin. I'll be all right.
I could have gone way fatter into Bitcoin, and I thought this every single time. Like, why didn't I simply use 100x leverage? But you know, in terms of like what I normally do and like my really small risk tolerance, as I am like a huge pussy about these things, I think I shipped it pretty good. I felt
happy. It's better to not losing everything is better than making a lot.
Yeah, and this is why, like, I mean, my strategy, right? Like, I'm that boomer, right? Every single crypto cycle, there's like the boomers who are sitting there being like, 90% of your portfolio should be in majors. You don't want to use more than like 5 or 10% of your total net worth in like a derivatives account to do trading on, like all of this shit. I'm now that guy. I bought the big coins relatively close to the bottom. I didn't buy the exact bottom because again, I'm a pussy. When FTX blew up, I was like, oh my God, like what if they send it? But at some point around like 25, 28K, I figured out, okay.
You're good.
We're good. And then I shipped shit.
Here's the thing. The kind of person, like, well, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm going to project to all of the rest of you. The kind of person who gets into crypto and shitcoinery and leverage trading on crypto does not also apply the conservative financial policies of like, you know, 90% of your shit's in majors and whatever. I tell myself I'm going to do that. And I do for a while, maybe for a month. I'm like 90% majors, da da da. Here's my shitcoin balance. And then I see something like pussy in bio or dog with hat. I'm like, this is going to go crazy. And then I just put everything in it anyway. And then then it doesn't go crazy. And then I regret it.
So I've basically been here for like, this is my like third cycle-ish. My first cycle, I was college dorm basement kid who just like blew off everything. This was like when I was like in fitness influencer mode, actually. And I just like fucking dropped out to go and participate exclusively in like a bunch of weird crypto discords and staring at chart activities. And I basically like I did not believe at all in holding Bitcoin. I was like, that's dumb. Like Bitcoin's only going to go up like 3x. I want to make 1 billion X. So I held like exclusively fucking altcoins, which is like I outperformed Bitcoin and then it crashed. It like in 1 week, it went from like 20K to like 12K and every single altcoin went to like actual giga zero.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you like getting off the ride, altcoins are very much musical chairs to like once the music stops, like they stop instantly. Bitcoin at least has like time to like tell you like, all right, it's going to crash. It'll recover a bit. Now it's like actually sell time. Like you have like a solid week or two to like.
Well, there's like
out.
Actual demand for Bitcoin that simply will not go away, right?
Yeah.
Like even in the down baddest of times, it's never like, oh, there's zero people willing to buy this shit. Whereas like your altcoin, bro, like there's a very good chance that at some point there will literally be zero buyers in the entire world for that shit, right?
Yes.
Like, I was sitting there and like you get conditioned too when like the bull market is going off and everybody's like crazed about this stuff. Like my first cycle, I remember like, oh, this is revolutionizing the future. Like the technologies, this is changing the world. Like it's getting adopted by this. it was like totally delusional, obviously. But I was thinking that all of this stuff, all the bid for all of this stuff, the people trying to buy, like it was just there forever. It was just permanent. And, you know, because that was like the only time that I had participated in the market was when everybody was going crazy for this shit. And then it stops. The music stops. And like you get so conditioned to just buy every dip because it dips. You buy it. Everyone else wants it. They buy the dip up, right? Oh, it's a good price. But then at some point it just dips and then it dips more. And then you buy the dip and then it keeps dipping and you buy and you're starting to get a little worried now, but you keep buying and then it just keeps dipping forever. And then it goes to like $0.
But you also spent three times your initial,
you kept doubling down on this thing that was going to actual zero. And like, this was my experience basically in my first cycle was just like, I made like a pretty good amount of money. Like I made like an amount of money that for like a college kid in a dorm room would have been like, maybe I should quit college. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I'm a genius investor prodigy, right? And, but again, I never took any of it out because this is like, it's the same thing that everybody gets sucked into is why would I take money out, dude? It's going to be worth 10 times as much in like 3 months, man. There's no way if I don't play my cards right that this shit doesn't 100x, okay? So I'm not going to fucking take it out. I'm not going out. I'm not going on a date with that girl. I'm not fucking buying the nice food. $20, bro, I'm going to spend $20, $20 on a coffee. That's going to be fucking 20 grand in like 6 months, bro. I'm not spending $20. That's fucking nuts.
You know, the thing is, though, this is why I'm sometimes glad that I have poor impulse control because the year that I probably made the most in crypto, like I spent so much on just bullshit. I should have bought like a Rolex or something smarter.
Dude, this is my alpha. This is my alpha that I'm gonna ship this to all of my podcast listeners here. You should listen to this yourself too. I'm not gonna say this is not financial advice. I'm not a finance, et cetera. Like I've said that like 600 times. But huh?
So these are only stories, anecdotes.
So
we'll continue.
I am getting on the list for every Rolex distributor in like a 2-ish hour radius of me right now, right? Why would I do that? Why would Lucas, Mr. Weird, Frugal, Homeless Man, like operating out of a basement, like not sleeping, living in some sort of like a schizo den, why would he
I can see the schizo den right now. It is accurate.
it's like we are on one, man. We are on one. But the reason why I would start buying luxury watches now is because in about a year, all these crypto people are going to have a fuck ton of money. And do you know what crypto people do with a fuck ton of money?
They buy dumb shit. Like
they buy expensive luxury watches, right? Look at the luxury watch market prices as crypto went up, right? Everything fucking rocketed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I bought the crypto and now I'm using the crypto gains to front run the watch market. I'm getting in on that shit because they're going to buy it and it's going to go up. And like, I'm selling the watches I want to say it was like 3 months after the top or something like that.
That makes sense. Before anyone realizes it's over and they're still like deluded.
Right. Yeah. There's a point where all these people who had like instant millions of dollars lose a substantial amount and they start selling their watches because maybe I don't need 62 $1+ million watches. And that's when, you know, they just like offload everything onto the market and then it turbo crashes. Right. It's like this weird delayed luxury goods pump that happens after the crypto pump. You can literally chart it with Bitcoin and it's just like an offset by a few months chart. But so the thing with Rolex is they actually are, you know, because normally you assume that if you buy something new, it's going to depreciate it.
Yeah, after you like it.
No. Yeah. Rolexes literally cost more money used than they do new. Because they control supply to such an extent that the gray market, black market, etc., like the aftermarket, third party resale of Rolexes is more expensive than the new Rolex. So the only way you can get a Rolex is by getting on the list with your Rolex dealer. And they only give you certain models, right? Like if you want the more desirable models, you have to spend like $100,000 or something on other Rolexes, right?
It's the Ferrari thing. It's Ferrari, right? Or Ferrari's not Lamborghini. Ferrari also makes you do this. You have to get on the list. You have to buy enough Ferraris to get to the higher ones.
Yeah. Yeah, and they say it's like, oh, we don't have the production capacity. Like, we can't make enough. But it is allowing me to make money, right? Because over the last, ever since I figured this out, I've been going and I've been stockpiling Rolexes. because I, when I was like, oh, fuck, you can just buy things new and then sell them and they're more expensive. When you, like, it's just why the fuck would I not do that? And then they were like, well, yeah, but if you want to make the big bucks, you have to like spend this much at your Rolex dealer before they even let you buy those. And I was like, why would I not just start doing that now?
Start flipping now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. I have been a Rolex collector. Ever since I learned about this, and now I'm finally fucking unlocking the secret Rolex distributor tiers where I can buy the stuff that has great resale, right? And I have I've just been keeping this stuff. I haven't been reselling it because they do actually check, like the distributors check which of the watches that they sell people are getting resold. So because if you like resell the shit, they'll like fucking blacklist you. Because they're trying to control supply like this. They don't want you to do this. They want you to keep it. So what I'm going to do is stockpile as many of these bitches as I can, and then I'm going to fucking dump, man. I'm going to dump so hard. I'm going to like send the Rolex market to zero with my collection of every single Rolex that's been acquired from the 200 miles within me radius.
Hell yeah. No, that's a new meta. I support it.
And I'm hoping that none of you guys live close enough to me that you're going to be interfering with my... And I think that's a reasonable bet, actually. Yeah, so I think that's actually like a very reasonable assumption on my part.
You're like 10 fucking K.
Yeah.
But I say, first you start off with a Rolex, and then you do the same thing with boats. So that's the next tier. Like, when you have enough fucking money, like...
I'm not going to... Dude, I can't fuck with the boats, man.
It's the same thing. It's the same...
No, it's just anytime you deal with any sort of an aquatic vehicle... The fucking registration and the upkeep and like I had a boat very briefly, and it was very brief because God, it sucks, dude. It fucking blows so hard. Like, it's just
you get the barnacles. You got to deal with a slip, a lot of shit. Yeah, yeah. You got. I know. Yeah,
yeah.
Had a boat, but like I know that I'm saying like the people who when the rich guys or the nouveau rich move past.
Oh, you're talking like fucking yacht tier, not like like fishing boat. Yeah.
No. When you get to the after you're like, all right, this watch flipping watches is not doing it for me. Then you move up to yachts and you start like shilling it to people who just made a billy off or selling their tech company. And
yeah, the 3AC. What did they had like a? How
they
much?
Had like the super yacht. Yeah,
yeah. They had like $1 billion yacht. So like the people that I work with, Kyle Davies and Suzu at the top of last cycle.
Did they sell it?
I think the yacht got repossessed, but they commissioned like the most expensive yacht in like the history of the human race or something. and then their like $12 billion hedge fund blew up, and the yacht got taken away. But it's like. That's a funny story. Like, that's what I get to tell people. Like, my mom says, like, oh, what did you do today? And it's like, went to work with the guys who blew up the super yacht, mom.
See, that's the thing. So, yeah, well, if I ever get to that point, I'm going to start selling yachts to billionaires. But at the moment, we're flipping on Amazon tier. We're not.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. This is the other thing, guys. Like, I need you to understand, like, I'm not at the point where I can even flip like the actually expensive watches. Like Rolexes are like normal person nice watch. They start buying like all the AP shit, the fucking the Pateks. Like I don't even know these brands because I've never looked at them because I simply like I don't
Richard Mille. I like that one. That's my favorite.
Like I just don't have enough money to be like considering the $250,000 watches as like investment vehicles. You know, give me the fucking the 10K watch. Like, I will buy a crate of the 10K watches, the 250K. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's
yeah,
like,
give me 25 of them 10Ks.
It's
and then
like,
we'll talk later.
It's like with NFTs, right? Where you can either buy like 10 of the floor ones, like the lowest, the common value ones, or you can get like the rare one. And it's like the rare one.
Harder to sell.
It can go up more. It can go up more if everything ships, but like. You could also just be stuck holding a $2 million monkey picture that goes, it doesn't quite go to zero, but like that nobody will ever buy. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you better hope you like watches or monkey pictures.
Yeah. And like, I mean,
you're holding the bag.
The Bored Ape Yacht Club shit. Like, that's like actually going to zero.
Oh, like, I told everyone it was going to go to zero. That
we all knew
trash.
It was going. Well, okay, so everyone is familiar with like those really they were really bad art. Like, I'm not trying to like shit on the artist just for the sake of like, oh, it's funny to like shit on the Bored Ape Yacht guy, but like, it's like straight up Fiverr art. It's the pictures of those like gross monkeys that like everybody made fun of on like CNN or whatever. They were like all over because they were like multi-million dollar monkey pictures. Like, it was truly silly. And they went up because of...
They did like an IP thing, and they like try to make an exclusive club where you can like... They like throw parties and shit.
It seemed like they're exclusive,
but it's cringe and no one likes it.
It was one of those things where everybody smart had a thesis about like, oh, this shit's going to zero. It's like, it won't like immediate, but like in the long run, this shit is going to zero. Right. And like people say that about like a lot of things in crypto.
But the near long run, like it was like, yeah, you know, like it's going to zero before
there's
the end
a
of
lot
this.
Of stuff in crypto that's going to like absolute zero. Right. But, this was one of those things where like it was such a new, like the NFT stuff was such like a new and like emerging sector that I didn't feel confident enough making any bets about like, oh, well, like actually like the value of this picture of like an anime kid is like going to go up while like the monkey picture will go down. Like that wouldn't have made any sense to me as a bet to make. Right. But like you have Miladies, which have gone from like 0.3 to like fucking like 8 ETH or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have the apes, which have gone from like 125 to like 10 or 16 or something.
Yeah, they've the Miladies are about to pass them. They passed the mutants, but not the main ones yet.
So, but every single, I don't know, like there are all these like markets that allow you to like long and short, which is basically like you're betting on the price going up, but you're doing so with leverage, right? And shorting is saying like, I'm going to sell an imaginary version of this asset that I don't really have, but I am given.
You borrow it.
Yeah. By the lending platform. And then I will make, like, let's say I sell a Bitcoin at $100 and it goes to $50. I would make that 50 that it went down instead of having it go up.
Yeah.
But everybody wanted to short the Bored Apes because they were like, this is trash. They suck. Like, nobody likes the art. It's obviously retarded that monkey pictures cost $2 million. This doesn't make any sense. And it was so insane that, like, there are multiple platforms that opened just to let people long and short NFTs. Every single one of them, there have been, like, four specifically that I know, all of them closed because so many people shorted the Bored Apes that there was just no counterparty. Like,
yeah.
Like, what do you do when
take all your money?
Yeah. Like, what do you do when 100 million people say, I'm betting on this thing going down, and zero people say, I'm betting on it going up? Like, where do you pay? Where do you get the money to pay them from? Like, there's no counterpart. It's just like, so they all wound up basically closing down because they couldn't market make that shit. And now it is actually going to zero. And it's really funny because there are all these people who like they had this community and they were all about, oh my God, like my ape bros, my Bored Ape brothers. And you get to see just how strong a community actually is when their shit goes to fucking zero, man.
So real. That's the most real. That's the realest test of all time. See, that was also the thesis too, right? Like, why people were like, oh, Milady's gonna do better than apes.
It's because we started at zero.
Yeah, we were hanging out at zero. We were throwing parties at zero. And they were, you know, if you're throwing parties when it's worth half a million dollars, yeah, no wonder everyone feels like a community. But like, in reality, they all sucked. And you guys didn't have a community. You guys were just like, oh, we're loaded right now.
Yeah, because like, it's fine. On paper, it's fine to have a great and active community when everyone in the community has multiple millions of dollars and everybody is sort of like, you know, like you're a big hype thing in the media. Everybody thinks you're like really cool, but it's different. It's different to still have any sort of community loyalty when everybody thinks you're a weird freak loser and you have no money, right? Like, then it's like, oh, this is actually a community. There's actually like something holding it together because it's not fucking money. It's not fucking clout, man.
Yeah. And it's at least I feel happy about it. It makes me feel like there's justice in the world when shitty communities don't make all the profit off of some dumb shit.
It is. Well, I will say that it's a little bit sad because, like, I don't just like indiscriminately hate the apes. Like, there's a lot of the people who just like minted and held, and they kind of like, you know, they're just like normie, like frat guys.
And well, here's the thing, though. I don't feel bad when you had it was worth 125 ETH at $5,000, and you were like, so, no, I'm not going to sell.
No, it's a fucking monkey picture.
Like, no,
bro, it literally took me
I would have sold so fast.
Dude, it took me multiple fucking crypto cycles to figure out that like you're supposed to sell. But like, this is the problem when you have this is why I don't suggest anybody ever buy like more than 30% of their total crypto portfolio in like one NFT or one asset specifically, especially something like an NFT where like you can only either sell or not sell. It's not like you can sell like 50% of your tokens. Like, there's only one. You either have it or you don't, because like when you have that one thing, your brain gets fucked, man. Like, I was in this position for a good portion of the 2021 cycle where like I accidentally minted a rare monkey picture. It wasn't like a bored ape thing, but it was like a $300,000 monkey picture. And this was like right after all my shit got blown up in Luna. And so like, I was like, okay, well, like 90% of my portfolio is in this one like rare monkey picture.
And it'll be fine. Like, my portfolio is fine as long as the monkey picture stays.
It's the
at that
worst
price.
Position to be in, because you don't like you can't take profits. You have to either be fully in or be fully out. Right. There's no way you can like hedge your bets. So like, and it's so stressful. It's so much worse than if you just have like a bunch of tokens and like they go up and it's like, oh, fuck, like this weird like Solana shitcoin went up 10x. I'll take out my initial payment. And here's we're good. And the rest, it's like, it can go to zero, but I at least still have my money. We're like, with this monkey picture that I minted it for free too. So my cost basis was zero. I literally had zero to go off of. And
that's the
way. Like, everybody
was
zero, like,
dude, that's also bad.
Yeah. And like, everybody started telling me like, dude, just sell it. Like, as soon as it passed like 60K, and then it just kept going up. And I was like, like,
here's the thing though. If it hits $250,000 and you got it for free, you got to just fucking, actually, to be honest, here's the thing about me and the monkeys. I never would have made it to 125 ETH. I know me, realistically speaking, the monkeys, they minted for like 2-3 ETH. So I might have held it for at least till 30. But around 30 to 50, I know for a fact by 50, I would have sold, which at the same time, I sold.
And you guys have to understand, too, like he's saying like 50 ETH.
That's like a fucking $150,000. Like, it's not at the time.
ETH was like ETH was like fucking 4K at the time. Like, this shit was.
Oh yeah, I'm assuming it's not the Pico top though. So let's say ETH was 3K or whatever, right? Even then though, you sold a fucking monkey picture for $100,000, $150,000. Like, I would feel no remorse. I would just close the app and never look at it again. Like, I would be like, oh, it went to a million. Oh well, I still got $150,000 off a monkey picture. Like, I might feel bad about it, but like, not really.
Okay, well, you would feel very bad about it for the next like six months while it continues going up. And then when it starts going down forever, you stop feeling that bad, right? And this is the thing that always goes, like, every crypto cycle, you know, you sell and it's going to keep going up, right? Like, you're not going to sell the fucking Pico top. So you're sitting there and you're mentally calculating like, oh, I could have had this much if I, and, in like 6 months or like 18 months or something, you're not going to give a shit anymore, because chances are it's going to be fucking zero, cousin. And you're going to be saying, thank fucking God I got any money out of that bullshit that I could, man. That shit is a fucking scam.
Exactly. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I actually got this one ape. I showed him a lady like when right before my lady like pumped that to like 10 ETH or whatever, at a consensus, and he was like, why should I buy this? I was like, it's just because it's gonna go up. And he actually was at the ETH Denver, and he hit me up. He was at the Milady rave, and I was like, no shit. He goes, he's like, hey, I bought a Milady when you said, and I'm like, I'm really happy.
Holy
I did.
Fuck, yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool, hell yeah. And he was like a big ape. He was like, oh, I'm fucking ape. He was like one of those dudes. So hey, listen, some people listen. He was at the rave. It was great.
Well, there's another thing that happens too with a lot of the like the blue chip NFT investor guys, where like things need to hit a certain price before they even like pay attention to them. It's very bizarre because like most people who get into crypto, they're like, I want to get things early so that I can get like 100x instead of like a 2x, right? Mm-hmm. But like there's this specific type of weird like luxury good cryptocurrency investor NFT guy that's like, it's like a totally different breed.
Yeah, they don't look at it whatsoever unless it's over
if something doesn't cost at least like $100,000, they're like, it's not a serious, this isn't a serious monkey picture, right? Like when your monkey picture costs six figures, come back to me because then I'll know it's serious. But until then,
yeah,
fuck this. Your monkey picture is only $50,000 and there's no point buying it. So
yeah.
And it's really weird because like that's like what you'll do. You'll say like, hey, this thing is going up. Like look at the chart. It's look at the computer. Look, and they'll be like, dude, it's only like fucking $8,000. Like, I don't really give a shit. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not something I can even really understand. There's a given level of wealth where I'm sure I would understand it, but I am not there yet, right?
Bro, like, $8,000, I'm not even looking at it anymore. If it's not, like, in my head, the most I'm willing to spend, like, even if I had the money and I'm willing to deploy it, like, you know, there was like art blocks. There's a couple of times where I see that's not still the problem. There's a couple of times where I paid $10,000 for an art block and they went to zero. So yep. I can't do it anymore. Like the most I'm willing to spend for an NFT, realistically speaking, let's say at this price, one ETH at this current price, $4,000.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I'm like, I'm not spending $5,000 on a fucking fake ass picture that's probably going to zero. I'm like, my brain can't comprehend that. I'm certainly not spending $8,000, right?
But it's also really weird because there are some things that like I knew that Miladies and Remelios and shit like that were going to continue going up and be like, they were going to be like a good leveraged bet on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. Despite knowing that, it's still like I couldn't quite bring myself to like send it super hard. Like I still have some and I haven't sold any, but like I
couldn't send it. I would be willing to buy a Bitcoin puppet if I had the spare money.
Yeah, I bought, and I've actually, I haven't posted about right this. Now, I've actually started. Right, huh?
They're pretty high right now. No, they're like 0.25.
I started selling around
0.169. Oh, we're back.
Exactly. Yeah, I started selling around a quarter of a Bitcoin and then it started going down. And I'm wondering if I, because see, this is the thing, like either ordinals are, it was actually just like a totally transient phase that we never see ever again in the cycle. And it just literally goes to zero, or this is a great buying opportunity. It's one of the two. And I would love to make a bet on it, but it's like, I'm not at the point where I feel like I want to risk my Bitcoin holdings on, like additional exposure to like fucking monkey pictures, right?
That's more important to have the Bitcoin holding, especially like as we continue on.
When he gets older, he won't sound like this anymore, right?